Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do there as well. I'm excited to have a new friend on the show. Dr. Ian Mitroff is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of Why Some Companies Emerge Stronger and Better from a Crisis. That's one of his many books, the latest of his books. He's a professor of both the School of Business and the School of Communication at the University of Southern California. And he's the guy who helps a lot of folks, companies and organizations around the world, deal with crises, whether they be major crises like what happened in London only a 3 weeks ago, or if it were something small inside of our company. It wouldn't be small for us, but it would be small in world terms, like if we had a significant employee to leave, a key employee to leave. So all across the board, and we're going to talk to Ian about that. Ian, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you here, and congratulations on your newest book, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Very good stuff in here, and I want to get this out to our audience, because we have those kinds of things, Ian. We're more likely to have a crisis that's created by a mistake that some employee makes, or a bad bid that we make, a product that we deliver doesn't work out. That could be a crisis for us. It could be that a key employee leaves. It could be that a major customer leaves us. It could be a lot of different things. A major competitor moves in next door, or it could be something like what happened at 9/1, or something that happened in Oklahoma City or in London about 3 weeks ago. In fact, you were in London, very nearby to what happened, weren't you, when
my wife and I was there doing a summer program for USC as a professor, and it just so happened our apartment was literally 2.5 blocks from where the bus was blown up, tragically, to put it mildly. And you could hear it. We were having coffee, and I mean, first you don't know what it is, but it was a tremendous, tremendous boom. And also, one block away was the Russell Tube Station that we took literally every day. The thing that was in the face of that tragedy, the British government was prepared admirably. I mean, they really did practice the key steps of crisis management. And the thing that they did is that they had scenarios over and over again for this. In fact, I was impressed that the Prime Minister and the Chief Cop of London, they came on the air and they both said right away, so they practiced the right kind of crisis communications, that it was never a question of if something like this was going to happen, but it was only when. As a result, they had practiced over and over again for this very kind of incident, namely that the whole London tube system, the transit system, would be taken out or seriously compromised. And unfortunately, the way they had learned is that they had learned from years of IRA bombings. But then they also learned from something else, which was one of the key things of crisis management that almost no one would ever think of in this country. They learned from mad cow disease. You say, oh, my God, what has mad cow disease got to do with the London transit?
It was a big deal about 4 years ago, wasn't it?
Well, what they learned is that if you don't coordinate all the coordination between the various government agencies, and each one is saying something different, then you prolong the crisis and you make it worse. So they really learned the value of communication, coordination. And they practice that, because you just can't call up during the heat of a crisis and start communication between different government agencies.
So what you're saying is what we can learn from that in business is that we would say, for example, to our employees, it's not a matter of if a hard drive will crash, It's a matter of when one will crash, and what are we going to do when that happens?
Well, right. Well, it's first of all, it's not a matter of, say, if a hard drive that contains all your business information is going to crash, only with when. And the other point is this. It's not only a question, it's not a question of if your main something's going to happen to your core business is only a question of when and how. And that means the companies, the key lesson, I mean, if there were one that I'd have to say in order to survive this thing, is that you have to think about the unthinkable, you have to think about the worst, and you have to practice it. I mean, you learn that time and again. A few companies, thank God, that got out of the World Trade Center tower. Mm-hmm. And got out just a week before, like I think it was Merrill Lynch, had been practicing an evacuation for a fire.
Yeah.
And that practice of evacuation just swung into effect. And
saved a lot of lives, didn't it?
Saved as many lives as could under that.
Stand by, Ian. Dr. Ian Mitroff, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, and he and I will be right back. We've got more crisis management to talk about right after this message is 20 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, Dr. Ian Mitroff. He's the author of Why Some Companies Emerge Stronger and Better from a Crisis, Seven Essential Lessons for Surviving Disaster. Ian, tell us where the book's available, please.
Well, the book is available in all major business stores. I mean, you go to Barnes & Noble, you should be able to get it there. It's published by Amacom, and it's there in the stack.
And also any of the online bookstores and
Amazon is probably the one that you get it from the easily. Yeah, it's online.
That's Mitroff is how you spell his last name, by the way, folks. If you're Googling him or looking for him online or asking about him in your local bookstore. Ian, one of the things I really like what you're saying about practicing. And I got to admit, my organization is going to start doing a little better job of this. And it's interesting that this is the second time we've heard this week. One of my technology experts, Alan Friedman, was on this week talking about backup of our computer systems.
Yeah, right.
And he was saying, don't just back up to a hard disk. He said, practice recovery. Your backup. He said, because what you may find is if you never practice recovering, you may find that what you backed up really isn't that easy to access. He said, so you should go through a scenario where you actually, you know, fake a failure, so to speak, and you try to recover from your backup disks. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think the point that he's making, which I would make, is the worst time to practice this is in the heat of a crisis.
Exactly.
Which gets to one of the other lessons we're talking about. It's not just enough to simulate, you know, what the crisis is going to be like, but most people don't think what you're going to be like emotionally. I mean, you're under stress. I mean, the probably the worst example is 9/11, where essentially, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, is that sent into war without basic training.
Right.
And we know the survival. I mean, you just can't survive in that. Can't survive anyway in most cases of that horrendous damage. But the point is this, that you're not only taxed physically, but you're taxed emotionally. I mean, so when you're talking about doing a simulation, you know, the really big companies that can afford this, they will bring in trained psychological counselors. They'll try and give people what the trauma, they'll give them a sampling, if you want to call it that, of the trauma they're going to go through before they have the crisis, and simulate it as much as you can realistically. I mean, that's what basic training is for soldiers or for policemen. Now, we're not trying to make people into soldiers or policemen, but we're saying we have to learn from what happens in a crisis. And part of that learning is, say, what is best practice? What do the best companies do? And that's what my book was about. To some mean, the best companies learn to think outside of the box. They learn to say, okay, look, how is crisis management not just something we throw money at and we hope it doesn't happen, but the lessons we learn from crisis management actually makes our day-to-day business run better. So the best companies say, you know, a crisis essentially is something that can bring your company to its knees. In some cases, it can eliminate it altogether, like Enron Anderson. That's the worst unthinkable, is that the whole company goes down, and or it suffers such a serious blow to its reputation that it may not recover from that as well. So it's not only it's a fire explosion, but what happens if your reputation, the thing that you count on most to really back up your business?
Well, one of the things from a small business standpoint, Ian, if we could say that, would you recommend that we have a meeting with our employees and we say things like, okay, what are some things that could happen? We could have a tornado, we could have a flood, there could be an earthquake, we could have a terrorist attack. But those things may happen, but what's more likely to happen? We lose a customer, we lose a hard drive, we have a fire. What do you recommend that we role play? What would be the different things that would be done? Who would do what in those circumstances?
Absolutely. I mean, small companies have to do everything that the big companies do. Now,
right.
Big companies can,
only with less resources.
Well, they can bring in somebody who's a professional trained crisis manager or counselor. Not either me or somebody else. Let me tell you one of the most difficult things that a small company can do. In fact, a company of any size can do. And in many cases, a small company can do this better than a big company. But it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And some pharmaceutical companies that I can't mention that I went into, and I said, well, what are you doing about product tampering? You know, somebody comes along and puts a poison in your drug, and people take it, they can literally die.
Like the Tylenol thing about 20 years ago.
Right, like the Tylenol. Well, the point is, every company is subject to this, because I can come in and mess up any product or service by putting something into it that's not good. The response I first received, it struck me. I mean, it was such a blow, I couldn't believe it. But the guy I was talking to, he said, we have an internal assassin team. I said, you have a what? He said, yeah. He said, think about it. No one knows more about our business than we do. So we formed two teams. One team say, oh, you had a high school education. The other team say you had a PhD education. And we set them loose. They said, we want you to get into our drugs, do the most damage, and get out with the least detection.
Wow.
And they found out that they can do it. And then they had counter-assassin teams. Now, obviously, the point is you have to be able to trust your employees if you're going to do that. But that was probably the one that struck me the most in all my years of consulting. And I've used that before with some companies. I used it with a big drug company, a big insurance agency. You can do a small insurance agency that wrote a lot of policies for Medicaid. Therefore, there was a lot of money passing through that organization.
Right.
And we formed a couple of teams and said,
Ian, hold on to that. Hold on to that thought. I got to take a quick break. We got to sell some stuff. It's 10 till. Ian Mitroff is our guest, Dr. Ian Mitroff. He and I will be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about crisis management and your small business. How do you deal with it?
It's like a dream come true.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Dr. Ian Mitroff, the author of Why Some Companies Emerge Stronger and Better from a Crisis. He's a professor at two of the schools at the University of Southern California. And something a lot of people don't know about Ian, he's also a professional blues harmonica player. A lot of people don't know that about you, do they, Ian?
Not yet, anyway, no.
Oh, they do now. I've just told the world. There's no telling how many gigs you're going to get out of this just by being on this show, Ian. There people will be calling you from all over the place. I love blues harmonica, and you're going to have to teach me how to do that, how to play
I'd be glad to do it. I'm ready to take those gigs.
All right. Ian, let's talk about a small business. In the time we have left, which is only about 5 minutes, let's take a small business owner through a typical crisis. Let's say that we've lost a big customer, a major customer. How do we prepare for something like that?
Well, I mean, you know, one thing about all crises is that they never just happen. They're always early warning signals. And so the thing is, you know, long before, you know, somebody actually terminates a contract or something, somebody in the organization, it may not be the CEO, may not be the president, but somebody's interacting with that that customer and a client on a daily basis beginning to pick up something funny, you know, either a change in the frequency with which they call, you know, the drop off in orders or something. And so crisis management really, you know, crises just don't happen. So that's one thing. Okay, now the second thing is the, let's say, well, look, whether it's a big or a small company, let's take Merck. Vioxx was 11% of that business. Mm-hmm. You mean to say there was no crisis plan if suddenly 11% of your business goes in the tank? I mean, that's unconscionable. So you have to say, what would I pick up the slack? Do I have any other products or any other customers? If I lose a customer of that magnitude, then I can begin, or I have other customers that I can go out and I can begin to drum up the business. Without the plan, then you're just reacting. See, the key thing of crisis management, if I had one thing to say to your listeners, you don't want to just react. Many companies say, oh, well, I don't have the resources, I don't have the time. Oh, we react to these kinds of problems, so we'll be able to react and get ourselves through it. Well, I'm going to say there are a lot of crises that you can't just do that. 9/11, which is of a horrendous magnitude, you just don't react. You respond as best you can, but that's not what you want to do. You want to simulate, you want to think about as many crises. See, one of the things we have learned in crisis management is that we have learned, even though we don't know the details of any particular kind of crisis and when it will happen, we know the general categories and types of crises. So, for example, there's a category of crises called informational. And what if not only if all your computers crash? That's not the main thing. What if somebody gets in and tampers with your data and you lose your data and you don't back it up? Mm-hmm. All companies are in the information age. I don't care how big or how small they are. All companies are in the reputational age. What if something happens? What if somebody does something, breaks the law, or does something that is morally unacceptable, you know, and then your reputation gets tainted? What if you not only have a labor crisis, but you have a labor suit, you have a class action, a sexual harassment? So what you got to do is you have to think about, there are about 5 or 6 or 7 different kinds of crises. There's psychopathic crises, terrorist crises.
But you talk about, one of the things you talk about, Ian, is the emotional that you have to deal with this emotionally. Is that the first reaction, is to overcome the emotional part?
Well, I'd say the first part, the first part of a crisis, the emotional part. For example, why is it happening to me? You know, unreal, and that, you know, you're just frozen.
Well, and also you probably scared the bejeebers out of you too.
Well, you're stressed out. You're traumatized is the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's really a severe crisis, it's almost like you're in a battlefield and you're traumatized. You know, you're talking about stress, being stressed out. It's almost like a Vietnam vet with the kind of stress that one. I don't want to lessen the impact that the soldiers go through, and that's not what I'm trying to do. But the reactions
like
are similar.
Ian, I got 30 seconds. Wrap this up for us.
Well, 30 seconds is, we have learned what the essentials of crisis management are in the last 20 years. We really know that the biggest problem is getting over the barriers that people have and implementing this stuff. What I would say the best thing that one could do is to talk to other small owners and see if they can pull their resources and hire somebody who can come in and take a look at their business and take a good hard look.
That'd be
at
a good thing. That'd be a good thing for a chamber of commerce to work on, for the whole chamber.
Absolutely,
Ian.
And
thank
take
you
a
for
hard look
here.
At your strengths and weaknesses.
Thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Okay, thank you.
Ian Mitroff, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get him back another day. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.